Hare Krishna. Bhukta Shivirshan Ki Jai. Are you all the future Bhukta Shivirs here?
Not future, current.
Current. Who distributes books here amongst you? Any of you? No, not yet. Future. Future. No, they, no. I'm talking to the girls here. Yeah, good. Hare Krishna, welcome. So this seminar is about going closer to Krishna. Anybody here want to go closer to Krishna? Hare Bhav. Me too. So, come on in, don't be shy.
I should have even started.
So, in the pastimes of Krishna, there's many amazing instances where personalities were very close to Krishna, but at the same time were very far away from Krishna. And one of them was the first demon that Krishna killed, Putana. She was so close to Krishna. Krishna was suckling her breast. I mean, that's pretty close, right? But at the same time, very far away, because why? She was trying to kill him. So she was so close, but at the same time, so far away. Right? But Krishna, he's Bhava-grahi Janardana. Anybody know what that means? That means that Krishna, he accepts the essence of whatever a person does. So he accepted the essence. She's breastfeeding me. So he just, all right, you want to be my mother? All right. She left her body. And what did she become? Nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, you see how merciful Krishna is? Just like sometimes on book distribution, you might be having a tough time. It happens sometimes, yeah? Yeah, it happens. I've even met people, devotees, that went out all day long and didn't distribute one book. Anybody have that experience? Yeah, not easy, huh? That's tough. But you know, when things like that happen, what do? She's a real devotee. You know what she said? She said, you pray to Krishna, you pray to Lord Nityananda, and you pray to Lord Chaitanya. That you can distribute books. That's exactly what you do. We pray. See, a book distribution is actually all about prayer. You're put in a situation where you have to take shelter of Krishna. Don't give in to your mind, oh, I can't do this, this is too difficult, people aren't nice out here. No. When it gets difficult, they have a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You heard that saying? So when it gets tough, that gives impetus to pray to Krishna. To get out of this slump. Because the amazing thing has happened on book distribution. Just to give you an idea, there was one devotee that distributed 900 big books in one day. Okay? 900 in one day. Because amazing things can happen out on book distribution if we're surrendered to Krishna. Right? Amazing things can happen. So there's an example of someone who was very far away but very close. Anybody think of another example? Yes. Trinavarta. Also, yeah. I don't know what his situation was after he passed away, but yeah, he was killed by Lord Balaram. Excuse me. And anybody that's killed by the Lord gets liberation. But there was another one, Kaliya. Kaliya was so close to Krishna. He had Krishna in his coils. For how long? Who knows? Huh? Who knows how long? Nope. Who knows? Who's the Krishna book scholar here? Huh? Hey! He gets the maha. Very good. 2 hours. Very. Did you tell him? Did the father tell him? No. Okay. He knows. Very good. 2 hours. He was in the coils of Kaliya. That's pretty close, right? Embracing the Lord for 2 hours. But he had one special bit of mercy in his favor. And that was, somehow, his wives were devotees. And they prayed to Krishna to deliver him. And there was many wives, and they were all praying, Krishna, please, please deliver our demoniac husband. Now what's interesting is, Krishna was dancing on his hoods. Would anybody here like to have Krishna dance on your head? Wow, wouldn't that be nice? So he got some special mercy. I think that kind of helped him get purified. And it's mentioned in the Krishna book that as Krishna was dancing on his head, fire and poison, the poison, the snakes had this poison, it was coming out. The fire and the poison was coming out. He's getting purified, right? So Prabhupada said that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue and all the poison is coming out. All the lust and the greed, the envy, all the impurities that sometimes make it difficult for us to preach. Yeah. So this is an interesting point Srila Prabhupada made. So Kaliya was very close, but he was very far away. But he became a devotee. He surrendered. He's the only demon that Krishna encountered that wasn't killed. He became a devotee. And you know, in Fiji, the deity's names there are Kaliya Krishna, Shushi Radha Kaliya Krishna. Because it's been seen that this snake has been around Fiji. Yeah, and that's why. Kaliya, he's called Kaliya Krishna, Sri Sri Radha Kaliya Krishna. I've been there, beautiful temple. Krishna's dancing on Kaliya's head there. So who else was very close to Krishna? Radharani. Oh, yeah. But she's never far away. She's always close. She's always close to Krishna. Indra. How about Indra? Indra was very close, but very far away. Now Indra, he was probably, although he's a demigod, he caused the most mischief because he tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. The cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, the cows, Krishna. He tried to kill everyone. Whew. Wouldn't want to be in his shoes, huh? So Krishna kind of humbled him, and he offered wonderful prayers to Krishna, begging for forgiveness and glorifying the greatness of Krishna. So he got purified. He became very close also. Prabhupada gives an interesting example about a mango. He says a mango from a distance is very beautiful. You see ripe mangoes on a tree. It's very attractive, isn't it? You get closer to a mango, and it also smells very nice. Even without opening it, it smells very nice. That's how we choose a good mango, right? You smell the mango. Yeah. Without even opening it, it's nice. But then you open it and you taste the pulp. Oh, so nice, right? Confirmed. So Prabhupada said similarly, Krishna is very attractive. Krishna's words are very attractive. How many of you joined because you first read about Krishna? Raise your hand. Oh, not so many. Not because you got a book? How many of you joined because you got a book? The girls here joined because that's very nice. How many of you joined because you heard about Krishna from friends? Okay. How many of you joined because of prasadam? Whoa, so many hands came up now. Prasad. Prabhupada said it's our secret weapon. Prasadam. Now, some hands didn't go up. What are some of the other ways? Yes.
Doing japa.
That's how you joined. But before you chanted japa, you must have, something else must have attracted you.
No, because this other guy, Brother Jabodi, was cultivating me.
So a friend. You're in the friend category.
Yeah, and then we go to the stage where we're doing japa, and then I had this really amazing experience.
Good. So you're in the friend category. A friend helped you, right? Okay. So, in these ways, we develop some faith in Krishna. You hear about Krishna. I read the Bhagavad Gita and that was it. I was convinced, this is it. There's nothing higher than this. So powerful. Krishna's words are so powerful. Which book did you read? Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, it's amazing. Same here. Public library.
I got this.
Yeah.
I think they didn't have
this one had four. The public library I went to had four different ones. Fortunately, I pulled out Prabhupada, otherwise, God knows where I'd be now. Who knows where I'd be? So, to hear about Krishna, we gather some faith. You take prasad, you gather some faith. You associate with people that are connected to Krishna, you get some faith in Krishna. Adau shodata tasharu sangata bhajanakriya. Taton artanivatisha, taton nishchar chishtata. So in the beginning we get some preliminary faith. And from that faith, that preliminary faith, that hey, this is nice. Nice prasadam, nice philosophy. You know, this person that's speaking to me about this is nice. I'll tell you about another, actually I'm going to back up a little bit. About another person that was very distanced from Krishna. Very far away from Krishna. He was so far away that he used to harass the devotees, this person in Los Angeles. He would call them names and he would break the windows of the temple sometimes. Devotees were just trying to tolerate him. But one day he broke a window and one devotee said, all right, finished. Tolerance is finished. I'm going to get this guy. So he went out and he chased this guy down. And he beat him up. I mean, he beat him up really bad. But the guy was impressed. Because he thought the devotees were just pacifists. And he started thinking, well, these guys are pretty tough. You know? And he was impressed. And he was so impressed that he wanted to learn about the philosophy. And somehow he got a book. And he read it. And he became more impressed. And then he went to a Sunday feast. And the devotees saw him trying to come to the... They said, whoa, wait a second. You know, I don't think we want you to come here. No. I've been reading your books, believe it or not. I'm impressed with what I've read. So I want to learn more. And they were like, all right. They were a little reluctant, but all right, come on in. And he's coming to more Sunday feasts and more. And finally, he told the devotees, you know, I really like this now. I'd like to be a devotee. And by then, they were already talking to him, cultivating him. So he became a devotee, Prabhupada disciple. His name is Ruchi. And believe it or not, he became the number one book distributor in the world. Sometimes. Amazing, isn't it? He was so far away from Krishna, but he became so close to Krishna. So that means there's hope. Yeah. There's hope that we can become very close to Krishna if we surrender to him. Is it possible to get some water? I'm going to need some water. So, back to this verse, Adav Shraddha. So, in the beginning, we get some faith in Krishna. And we're not interested only in ourselves getting faith. We want others to also get faith in Krishna. So therefore, when we're distributing books, we should, as this nice girl said, we should pray to Krishna. And Krishna will help us. And there's a golden rule about book distribution. Does anybody know the golden rule about book distribution? The golden rule is... Well, that's a good one, but that's not the main rule. That's another rule. The golden rule is... That's another good one. Yes. She's going to say something? That's another good one. Yeah. When we're speaking to people, the golden rule is everybody walks away with a good impression. Whether they take a book or they don't take a book, they walk away with a good impression. Because impressions, or they say first impressions are lasting impressions. First impression is very important. Yeah. It's like Vaisheshika Prabhu, he's got this, he's probably the best at leaving a good first impression. And he told me of one story. He was in Hawaii distributing, and he approached one couple and was showing the book, and they said, well, thank you, but we're Christians. We're not interested. And he said, well, I want to thank you for giving me your very valuable time, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Yeah. And he was just so friendly. He said some other things I can't remember. But they came back a half hour later and said, you know, you were so nice. We changed our mind. We'll take a book and give you a donation. Yeah, so that's successful book distribution. Yeah. That someone doesn't want a book. And then they're so impressed with your good attitude that they come back and they want it. So this is very important. So this is the qualities of a Vaishnava. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, Titikshaya karuniya maitra chikila dindasu smatvena chisharvatma bhagavan sampasiditi. That Krishna is very pleased when we approach others with four qualities. First one, Titikshaya. You all know, tolerance. We have to be very tolerant. Just like some of you had that experience where no one took a book the whole day. You have to be tolerant. But at the same time, we had to, that our desire should increase, you know, to distribute books. And therefore we pray to Krishna. See, this gives impetus to take shelter of Krishna. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a well, a deep well. In the well, there's some water. Okay? In the water, there's a crocodile. Alright? There's a rope going down the well. Right? Girls, you listening? Come on, girls, you gotta listen. This is a good example. Put it down. So there's a rope going down the well. And on the bottom of the rope, there's a man hanging on the rope. And the water is rising. You got the picture? There's a man hanging on a rope in the well. The water's rising. There's a crocodile in there. Do you see any problem there? There's a problem there. Because if the water is rising, that means the crocodile is rising also. Right? Now generally, especially us men, we know it's hard to climb up a rope. Right? It's not easy because the body is heavy. You got to have strong arms to climb up a rope. But if you have a crocodile coming towards you, it's not a problem. Right? Not a problem at all. Yeah. Because the adrenaline, thank you, the adrenaline flows and you become so strong, you just climb up that rope like it's nothing. Right? So that gives impetus. That difficulty gave impetus for this man to climb up the rope and avoid the danger. Right? So difficulty is good. It's welcomed. And therefore, Queen Kunti says, Vipada Santutasasva, Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. She prays, please Krishna, please Krishna, give me calamity. Anybody here ever pray like that? Krishna, please, give me calamity. I think Queen Kunti might be the only one. Such a great Vaishnavi. So on book distribution, you don't have to pray for calamity. Right? Automatic it comes. So that's Krishna's mercy. That's welcomed. Because that gives impetus for us to take shelter of Krishna. It's a blessing in disguise. And there's a verse that Prabhupada says is the guide for all devotees of Krishna. There's only one verse that Prabhupada said that about. And it's very related to book distribution. Anybody know the verse? Tattena kampang susamik samano bunjane eva mrikritam vipakam hridvagpirvirvadidham namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadoyapak. So the Prabhupada said this is the only verse that devotees are guided by. You should all learn this verse. Yeah. It's 10:14:8. If you want to jot it down. 10:14:8. And this was spoken by Lord Brahma. Now this is after the Brahma Vamohana Lila. He was kind of like testing Krishna. So he stole away his cowherd friends and calves and thought he would test Krishna. So then Krishna manifested himself and all the cowherd boys and calves and Lord Brahma wasn't gone long because he was a little concerned that he might be getting himself in hot water. So he came back and saw that the... It's okay. It'll be all right. So he came back and he saw that all the calves and cowherd boys are there. So then he understood, I'm in trouble now. And just then, all the cowherd boys and calves manifest forearm forms of Lord Vishnu. And then he knew, whoa, now I'm in real big trouble. So he offered prayers of Lord Brahma. And this is one of them. He says, always seeking your compassion, thus tolerating all difficulties as being due to his own past activities, and always serving you with mind, body, and words, such a devotee is eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. So this is how to inherit the kingdom of God. When there's a difficulty, is there any difficulties in our life? Yeah. Anybody here ever have difficulties? Yeah. No? I think all of us at some point, we have difficulties. It's the nature of this world. Dukkhaliyam asasatam. It's a place of suffering. So a devotee thinks, whatever is happening, it's due to my own past activities. Sometimes people, they blame God. Or they blame this circumstance, or they blame that. Devotee always thinks, actually I deserve much worse. But Krishna is very kind, and he's minimized what I deserve. Yeah. So this is how a devotee feels. And then he's always humble. In this way, he's always humble. So the second part of that is always serving you with mind, body, and words. He's accepted that this has happened because of my own past activities. He's not discouraged. And he prays to Krishna, please help me to engage in your service with mind, body, and words. So that's the positive aspect of this verse by Lord Brahma. So from this faith that people get from associating with the devotees and getting books, then the next part is one wants to engage in devotional service. It's like I remember when I went to the temple in Miami, I was just there a few days and I was chanting japa in front of the deities. Myself and another devotee were chanting japa in front of the deities, and one of the managers came to me and asked if I can do some service. And I said, okay. So the devotee next to me said, you must be chanting japa better than me, because he went to you to ask to do service instead of me. I said, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Because what are we praying for? We're praying for service. That's what we're praying for. Actually, Prabhupada said different things about chanting. Devotee asked Prabhupada, how should we, what should be our mood when we're chanting? He said, my friend Krishna, my friend Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me again. Prabhupada said we should have that mood. And of course he also said that we should chant like a baby crying out to the mother. The baby is completely dependent on the mother. So he said we should feel like that, completely dependent on Krishna. And of course, actually, japa is a very important part of book distribution. Yeah. If we chant very attentive japa, Krishna's pleased. So, attentive japa is very important. And there's one devotee, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who I found to give the best advice about chanting attentive japa. Would you like to hear? When he would chant, and he found he was inattentive, he would stop. And he would back up one or two beads, and then continue on. Just to check the mind. Because, you know, the mind just goes off and gone. It's like there's a saying that I let my mind wander and it didn't come back. So it's kind of like that. You let the mind wander, it just keeps on going. So as soon as you notice that you become inattentive, stop. I've been doing this for years. It's really good. Checks the mind. Stop, back up, you know, one or two beats, then go forward again. take a little longer to chant japa. One devotee I said that to, he said, if I did that, it would take me all day to chant 16 rounds. Because they'd have to keep on going back. Yeah, don't go overboard. But that kind of helps to check the mind. Practical way. And when Arjuna said to Krishna that I find it impossible, this process of yoga that you've described, because the mind is chanchalam hi mana krishna pamati balavajadam. Mind is flickering, it's very strong, it's determined. To control it is more difficult than control the wind. Krishna said, Apriyam itasungyam, asangsyam mahabhav, manor durnigraham chalam, abhyasena tikonte vairagyena chigriyate. He said, it's undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind. But it's possible by? What? Practice. And detachment. Practice and detachment. So this is a very practical way to control the mind. So adaushuratatasaru sangata bhajanakriya. So from this shraddha, we learn about devotional service. And then giving up bad habits. And then we get, gradually we get some taste for service to Krishna. And everybody is looking for happiness, isn't it? We all want happiness. So it's by service to Krishna that we attain happiness. Everybody in the material world, they're serving their senses, but there's no happiness there. This is animal life. So we're trying to give them an opportunity to experience real life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate nitirdapada savivaya. That Neha yat karma dharmaya, if one's work does not bring one to dharma, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to bhakti, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. Interesting verse, huh? So you know what that means? That means a lot of people walking around that are dead. Yeah. They appear to be alive, but no bhakti. So we're trying to help people come alive again in their service to Krishna. It's like people have amnesia. They've forgotten who they are. Yeah. There's one instance where a young man, he was riding his bike in California and his bike crashed. He hit his head, and we got up, nothing, completely blank slate, nothing. Didn't know his name, didn't know where he lived, zero. How would you like to be in that situation? Don't know your mother, your father, where you live, your own name, nothing. So he is like, now what do I do? So he picked up the bike. He's walking, and one devotee sees him, says, hey, how's it going? Where are you from? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Yeah, I bumped my head. I crashed my bike, bumped my head. Don't know my name, don't know where I live, nothing. So the devotee said, well, I'll tell you who you are. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. And he thought, okay, at least now I know something. So he understood this very awkward situation. You know, he was dressed nicely. He looked like a nice boy. So this devotee thought, well, let me just help this person out. So he let him stay with him in his apartment. And he trained him up in Krishna consciousness, became a nice devotee, book distributor, everything, wonderful. His name is Omkar, disciple of Prahlad Nandaswami. So after 2 years or so, he decided he wanted to find out who he was materially. His memory never came back. He still didn't know. Heavy case of amnesia. So he went to the school where he had crashed his bike, figuring he must have gone to school there. So he had a picture taken of him, and he put flyers around the school. If you know me, call this number. I have material amnesia. So he got some calls and found out who he was and found out his parents and where he lived and found everything. What's ironic is before he had this crash, he was an atheist. So Krishna covered all that up and made him a devotee. Krishna acts in mysterious ways. So this is a situation people have forgotten who they are. So when we're going out and we're distributing books, we're giving people a chance to wake up from this illusion, this illusory existence, thinking that they're Australian or Indian or American or Chinese or these are all designations. It's not reality. So we're trying to help people out of this. Prabhupada says in one purport that the quickest way to get realization of Krishna is to preach. Anybody here want to get realization of Krishna? Haribo. Yeah, me too. So Prabhupada gives many hints in his books how to advance. Yeah, how to advance. So this is, Prabhupada said that you're on the fast lane back to Krishna. Yeah. So we want to get closer to Krishna. This is the goal of the human form of life. And Prabhupada says in one purport that the whole purpose of the creation is to give conditioned souls an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. That's the whole purpose of the creation. And Krishna says also, Yaidang paramang guyang mad bhakte subrahashisi bhakti mayam karam param kruta mayu aisha yasang saya. That anybody who is preaching this message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me. So one may say, well, we're distributing Bhagavad Gita to people that aren't devotees. Actually, previous to this verse, Krishna says, this knowledge should not be given to those who are not engaged in devotional service, who are not devoted, who are not austere, and there's one more. I can't remember. But we're distributing books to people that don't have any of these qualifications. So what's that about? Why are we doing that? In the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, text 29, anybody have a Bhagavad Gita with you? Third chapter 29. Oh, you have the actual paperback? Let me, here, bring it over here. Tell your daughter or something to bring that over. That's quicker. Prabhupada explains. Oh, you've opened right up. That was pretty quick. Very good. So Prabhupada says, men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But devotees of the Lord are more kind than Krishna. Amazing, huh? Because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risk, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. So there's the answer. So Krishna, Prabhupada says in the purport here, why Krishna doesn't want us to approach such people. It's again the mercy of Krishna. He doesn't want us to waste our time. Again, you know, Krishna is so merciful. He doesn't want his devotee to waste their time. But the devotee is more kind than Krishna because they'll take the trouble of wasting their time with these fools and rascals that aren't interested to help give them Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said another interesting thing about this. He said that if someone stops and listens to you, that means they're a devotee. What to speak if they take a book? Because we're not supposed to approach non-devotees and try to give them books. But Prabhupada said that as well, which is very interesting. So Prabhupada said, for each book we distribute, we're getting closer to Krishna. Because this activity is very, very pleasing to Krishna. And therefore he said, prana, artha, dhyā, vacha. That devotees should be ready to give their life for the benefit of others, for helping others. Now there's so many philanthropic movements around the world, you know, feeding the poor and building hospitals and different things like this. But the best welfare activity is giving Krishna to others. And Prabhupada wanted people to give their life for this activity. And there's some devotees doing that. You know, some devotees now have been distributing books for 45, 50 years, and still doing it. Prabhupada was in a room with Tamal Krishnamars in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamars, yeah, just give your life to Krishna, and then when you get old, you can come and you can retire in Vrindavan. And Tamal Krishnamars thought, wait, that doesn't sound right. But Prabhupada, you never came and retired here. Yes. I never retired. But Prabhupada, we're not going to retire either. So we don't retire. We continue on serving Krishna. There's so many ways to serve Krishna. Many of you know Rupa Raghunath, huh? Rupa Raghunath, and he's probably the most stalwart book distributors in Australia. I was talking to him, I said, yeah, we're just going to continue distributing books right into our 70s, right, Rupa? He said, 70s? 80s? 90s? He's a real stalwart, yeah. So Prabhupada wanted, give our life. What are people giving their life to now? All over the world, what are people dedicating their life for? Satisfying their senses, right? Basically. It's a marathon to satisfy their senses. You know, wasting the human form of life. Such a great waste. So we want to interrupt this wasted life and give people an opportunity to learn what is most important. So prana artha, one should be ready to give one's wealth. If someone can't give their life, then at least give the wealth. It's like you have this dana, what is it called? Dana Sankirtan, was it? Charity. Huh? Charity. Yeah, charity. But there's something in Los Angeles we had, also in Europe. It's charity for book distribution. Huh? Shastradan. Shastradan, yeah. So this goes on in California and also in places in Europe. If someone can't give their life, give some donation for book distribution. I think that's already going on here, yeah? People are giving donations for book distribution, which is also nice. Prana Artha Dhyā, I want you to give one's intelligence. You can't give your life, you can't give your what? Give your intelligence. It's like when we were distributing books. People come up with excuses why they don't want to take a book. You ever hear excuses? Yeah, when you're distributing? So many excuses. It's amazing how many excuses they come up with. So we got to use our intelligence. Got to refute their excuses. Right? Just like I was distributing books here in Australia, in Brisbane. I was going door to door. And I knocked on the door and the man answered the door. He saw I had the Bhagavad Gita. He said, no, I'm not interested. I'm an atheist. I said, oh. Then, you know, this book, it's all about God. You should know your enemy. He said, all right, good point. All right, I'll take one. And he gave $20 for the Bhagavad Gita. So we got to think, yeah. Now hopefully he understands that actually Krishna's his best friend, not his enemy. And I use this line, sometimes they, actually in Los Angeles I was distributing, and in Los Angeles airport, back when we used to do the airport, actually I had an interesting experience just a few days ago. I was in the airport in Guanghao, China, and I distributed books in the airport there to two Chinese people. They got books. That was the first, I'm in China, I got to distribute some books in China. Communist country. So, the devotees, when I was in Philippines, they said, yeah, no problem. You can distribute books there, no problem. Actually, there's a devotee, Narayan Pandit, that distributes so many books in China. He's got no fear. And he gets stopped all the time, too, but they don't take him in, or they just, you know, you can't do that, and they let him go. It's like amazing. Protected by Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, I was distributing books in the LA airport, and the person was showing some interest. And then he said, I'm not that interested. So I pointed to his head and said, up here you're not interested, but here you're very interested. And he said, okay. You got me. I'll take it. So yeah, they don't understand. There's a difference between the heart and the mind. So a lot of people, they have that feeling. Let me follow my heart. Yeah, so there's a difference there. And people catch that. And then just a few days later, I was in the same airport, and I approached one Indian man, and he. I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, I have something to show you. And I was thinking he's going to, I don't know, show me another Bible or Bhagavad Gita or something. So he pulls out the Bible. And I said, well, isn't that ironic? I'm American, presenting the Bhagavad Gita to you. You're Indian, and you're showing me you have the Bible. Isn't that interesting? And I said, well, you know, I've read the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? No. Okay, we should read the Bhagavad Gita. He took the Bhagavad Gita. So now he has both. So yeah, we have to use our intelligence. Yeah. This is the best way to use our intelligence. You know, Krishna's given us all some intelligence. So best way to use our intelligence is to try to convince people to take this literature. It's the best thing for them. Nothing is better than to learn about Krishna, to learn about themselves, learn about the soul, learn about devotional service, the pastimes of Krishna, wonderful pastimes of God. There's so many religions. But there's no religion that describes the pastimes of God. I grew up a Christian. There's nothing. In the Bible, there's nothing. God spoke from a burning bush. And that's about it. There's nothing else. We have so much information about God. Many devotees told me, they asked their priests, what does God do in the kingdom of God? What does he do? Oh, that's a mystery. No one knows. So we have so much information about Krishna, about God. Such a nice philosophy. Actually, Prabhupada said one time, if someone can give us a better philosophy, we'll take it. Give us something better. There's nothing better. Mata paratarang nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. There's no truth higher than Krishna. Ahang sarvasya prabhu. There's no truth. I'm the source of all material and spiritual. Everything is emanating from me. Now all the other leaders of other religions, Jesus, he never said that. What did Jesus say? I sit at the right-hand side of God. I'm the servant of God. He never said he was God. Muhammad, he never said he was God. He's a prophet. So, we're the only ones, the only religion, major religion, where the leader says, I'm God. And it just happens to be that he is. So we want to spread out the good news. To help others get closer to Krishna. We're fortunate because we're on this path getting closer to Krishna. And it's a nice path. Isn't it? It's a nice path. So we want others. We want the family to increase. You say, Vaisheshika Prabhu has that book, Our Family Business. So this is our family business, to increase the family.
Without sex.
No, sex is all right also. Babies are coming up also. We have so many children, devotees coming up. That's all. That's all right. So, yeah, we want to increase the family. Just like there's so many people, they go to God because they want to get something from God. They approach God for money, or they approach God to get free of distress. But devotees, they want to do something where they can offer something to Krishna. And there's no better offering to Krishna than when we offer a soul, a lost soul that has gone, now is coming back to him. There's nothing more pleasing to Krishna. Prabhupada said that Krishna, he is feeling some pain. Just like imagine there's a father that has 8 sons, and one of them goes bad. All the others are good, but one goes bad. He goes out and he becomes very degraded. And one of the sons decides to go out of his way to help him. And he brings him back. He becomes a good boy again. Imagine how pleased the father is. Because the lost boy is given pain to the father. So when we bring a fallen soul back to Krishna, that gives you an idea of how pleased Krishna is. And it happens. It happens all over the world. So many people are joining because of book distribution. And we have this Woodford Festival every year up in Queensland. And I've just been distributing there for about 10 years. And there's one boy I gave a Bhagavad Gita to, and he was showing some interest, and I told him we have this woofers. You all know about woofers? Woofers? Yeah. It's a worldwide organization of organic farming. So we have that at, in Marwilamba.
Willing workers on organic farm.
Huh?
Well, willing workers on organic
farm. Someone, one of those. So, so we went back to the temple and he was there. He was working with the woofers. And then he kept associating with the devotees, and he thought, well, I think I'd rather be with the devotees. So he moved in with the ashram, into the ashram. So he's living in the ashram. 3 years later, he's still with the ashram. Some of you might know him, G. Jago. Yeah, that's how he joined. So he got a book, got a Bhagavad Gita, liked it, and now he's still practicing. So it's rare, but it happens. And even if someone doesn't become a devotee, Prabhupada said, if they just touch a book, they benefit. So even you're out and you're trying and no one takes a book the whole day, if they just touch a book, they benefit. Because the book is Krishna. It's not different than Krishna, right? Therefore, when a book falls on the ground, what do? Put it on our head. Of course, we try to avoid that as much as possible. But it's Krishna. Please, Krishna, forgive me, and put it on our head. It's Krishna. Yeah. We don't go into the bathroom with the books. It's Krishna. So they touch a book, they benefit. Prabhupada said, "What if they read one line, it can change their life. Or to speak of, they read a whole book. Yeah. They may not become devotees, but it's there. Krishna, he sees that. Neha bikramanasosti. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. A little advancement on this path can protect from the most dangerous type of fear. So, however they come across devotees, you know, they just appreciate. Prabhupada said they just appreciate the book; they benefit. And one thing that you should also think about and do: sometimes people are nice, yeah, but I just don't read. I'm sorry, they're nice people, I just don't read. I met one guy, he said, I've never read a book in my life. Not in school? He said, yeah, in school. Only in school. Only if I had to read a book, would I read. Otherwise, I've never read a book. I said, well, would you like to give a donation to a monk anyway? He said, all right. He gave $20. You know, at Woodford Festival, same thing. One guy, he said, yeah, I have a few of your books. I never read any of them. I'm not going to read. So I said, well, can you give a donation? All right. He gave $50. So even if someone doesn't take a book, they're nice, ask for a donation. Ask for a donation. They do some service. Yeah. Goes to the temple. They get some benefit. Yeah. So if they don't take a book, it's not over. Yeah. Give them another chance. Maybe there's another way that they can do service. And if they give a donation and don't take a book, you might meet someone else, no money, but they like the book. And then you've already gotten the donation from that other person, so then he can get the, no problem, here, you can take it anyway, no problem. And these books, like I said, they're Krishna. So Krishna, he works in very mysterious ways. I'll give you an example. Radha Swami, example. You know, in the early days, back in the early 70s, we didn't have cars. We were so poor. So all the devotees would hitchhike. So Radha Swami was hitchhiking and some guy picked him up. And, he, you know, Radha Swami was very friendly and he was talking to him and he asked him, so what do you like to do? And the man said, well, I like to meditate. I like to chant this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, well, that's nice. Where'd you hear about that? Oh, yeah, I read about this from this book called the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, well, how'd you get that? He said, oh, you wouldn't believe it. I was at a store and I bought this quarter of a watermelon. I was eating it outside the store over a trash bin. It was so good. But then it slipped out of my hands and went into the trash. Now, generally, I don't do this. But that was a good watermelon. So I reached in there to get that watermelon, and this book was down there. Bhagavad Gita. And I like to read. So I was thinking, why would anybody throw away such a nice book? So I put it under my arm and went and got that watermelon. I took it home. And I was so impressed. I read it twice. I love that Bhagavad Gita. And that's where I learned about this chanting. So Radhana Swami said, well, you know, that's my favorite book too. And I also chant Hare Krishna. And I'm a devotee of Krishna. And the man said, you're a devotee of Krishna? I always wanted to meet devotees. Wow, isn't that Krishna's mercy? So then he asked Radhana Swami, well, where are you going? I'm going to the temple. I live in the temple. You're going to a temple? There's temples around here? Yeah, I live in it. Really? Well, can I go? Well, yeah. You're driving. Let's go. So the man said, well, you know, you're so nice. Can I give you a donation? Yeah, if you like. He gave $5,000. 1972. That means like, what is that now? Maybe $30,000 or something? $25,000. He'll be a finance person here. What is it, about $25,000 now, right? So a lot of money. And it turns out that he's a welder. And just then they were building the Prabhupada's palace of gold. So he helped build that palace. He had about $30,000 worth of equipment in his truck. And he got initiated by Prabhupada. So one may say, well, the book was thrown in the trash. End of that book. Right? No. It's not the end of the story. See, in India, you probably all know the saying that on each grain of grass there's someone's name. What's the saying? All the Indians know that. On each grain of rice, there's someone's name. So what to speak of Prabhupada's books? On each book we distribute, there's someone's name. It can end up in someone's hand, and we don't know whose. So many times this has happened. I was in Toronto one time, Rath Yatra, and a devotee came up to me and said, Vijay, thank you very much. I said, you're welcome. Why are you thanking me? You distributed a book to one of my friends in the Miami airport. I'm from Colombia, so he took that. He wasn't interested, but he knew I'd be interested, so he took it to Colombia. He gave me that book, and now I've been a devotee for 20 years. So this happens so much. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called book distribution the Brihat Mardanga. The bigger mridanga. Here you can hear the mridanga, maybe if you're a good mridanga player, maybe two blocks away. But these books, they go all over the world. In LAX, I gave a book to one person. And then years later, 20 years later, I went to Norway. And a devotee was there who I gave a book to 20 years earlier. He became a book distributor himself. So book distribution makes more book distributors also, sometimes. We did, yeah. We got a book and we became book distributors. There's one instance where a young man was in a concert. And he's standing there talking to some friends, and a book comes flying from the sky and lands in his hands. And he's like, well, where'd that come from? And he looks at it and said, wow, this looks kind of interesting. I guess I'm meant to read it. He read it and he became a devotee. Yeah. Evidently, some guy got the book and wasn't interested. He just threw it up in the air. and it landed up in this person's hand. Yeah. Krishna's the master of all mystics, right? So the book ends up in the right person's hands. We just have to do our duty and get the books out there. Yeah. And amazing things happen. What time is it? Quarter nine. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for the instruction. Do you think that devotees can distribute books by forcing a person?
By
applying force.
Applying force. Remember, we want everybody to walk away with a good impression. Sometimes, if we try to be too forceful, it turns people off. But I'll tell you one instance where this devotee was trying to get this lady to take a book, and she was just refusing and refusing and refusing and refusing. But this devotee was just so determined, just to get rid of the guy. She said, "All right, I'll take the book and give you it, just to get rid of you." She became a devotee. And she called the BBT, and she said to the devotees of the BBT, "I don't know his name, but he was real determined, and I was determined not to take the book, but finally I took the book, and now I'm so happy as a devotee." So sometimes it works, but in general we don't want to be too pushy. There's another instance of a devotee was going door to door. This is in India. And he knocked on the door, and knocked on the door. There's no answer, but he had a feeling that there's someone there. He knocked on the door, and no one's answering, but he kept knocking. And then a lady opened the door and said, "Don't bother me, I'm busy." And she was going to shut it, but he put his foot in the door. And then he put the Bhagavad Gita through the door. And she held the Bhagavad Gita, and she said, "I can't believe this. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening." Then she opened the door. She said, "I was just getting ready to kill myself. And the noose was there hanging from the light. I was just going to kill myself. And you've come to the door with the Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna." And she just said, "Thank you, Krishna. You gave a nice donation." She said, "I'm going to read this book right now." So these books save people's lives. There's another instance of a devotee. He was going business to business in India. And he went to one shop. He went in and they were having a business meeting, maybe about 8 people. And the devotee said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were having a meeting." He had a stack of Bhagavad Gitas. And the person in charge, the chairman there, said, no, it's okay. We were just ending now. And please give each of my colleagues here a Bhagavad Gita, and I'll cover the cost." So the devotee was like, "Woohoo!" He was very happy. Yeah, that's a nice thing to happen. So his colleagues were just leaving. And then this devotee said, "You know, I'm so happy to see that you have such faith in the Bhagavad Gita. Can you tell me how you got all this faith?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was a happily married man. No anxiety. Nice wife, nice children. But at one point, for some reason, I don't know, my wife just turned. And she was snapping at me. You know, calling me an idiot and all kinds of names and just... And I just, what's going on here?" And then the children saw that, and they also started acting that way. And I didn't know what was happening. So I became an alcoholic after some time. Drinking and drinking and drinking. My life just became miserable. So I decided just to take my life. Well, how can I live like this? So then I was just going to take some poison. And I looked up, Bhagavad Gita was in my bookshelf. And I thought, nothing to lose now anyway. See, people go to God when there's some distress. Right? So he said, I pulled it down, and upon reading the first paragraph, I felt so much relief. And I kept reading, and I kept reading, and I kept reading, and I kept reading. Within 5 days, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and when I finished, I was so happy. Like I had never been so happy in my life. And then I showed it to my wife. I was explaining it to her also. We're not these bodies. We're not Indians. We're spirit soul. You know, and this is all temporary. And she became fascinated with it. And then now we're all devotees. Practicing Krishna consciousness. So this is the power of these books. They're treasures. Just like in one purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna is compared to a diamond. And the pure devotee is compared to gold. If you have a gold ring, you put a diamond in, it's very attractive. So when we're distributing books, we're not distributing paper and ink. We're distributing diamonds and gold. Precious treasures. Priceless. Priceless treasures. It's like sometimes people ask, well, how much? How much should we give? Well, actually, you can't put a price on wisdom, so give whatever you think is appropriate. Sometimes devotees say that. One time a devotee said, well, I gave my life, but you give what you can. Some of us give our life. It's a good donation. Yeah, we should be determined, but gentle, not too pushy. Yeah. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Are these stories written in any books so far, or not in any?
I have a book coming out. It's called The Treasures of the Brihat Mridanga. Just now coming. It's taken a while. So yeah, there's one devotee from Russia. He's an old book distributor, sannyasi now, Ambarish Maharaj. He told me this is the best Sankirtan book I've ever read. So it should be some inspiration. A lot of devotees are in it, a lot of sannyasis and book distributors, and I think it'll be some inspiration, hopefully. Yeah, a devotee told me because by the way. How many of you are receiving my book distribution stories on Google Group? Okay, not very many. Not very many. Why don't you pass around your phone? Let people, anybody that wants to be on it, just put your email on his phone, and you could just put it in the notes section there, and you could send them all to me, and I'll add you to it. Every day I'm sending out amazing stories. One devotee told me, he said, so many things are coming into my computer, but the only good thing that comes in there is your stories. He told me. You get them? You get them all? Yeah, devotees told me they're quite inspiring.
Can we add ourselves to the Google group?
Huh?
Can we add ourselves to the Google group or not?
Yeah, well, I don't know how you do that. No, I think you have to be... Maybe somebody else, because there's a lot of people here. Maybe somebody else can pass your phone around. On this side. Somebody on this side. Who has a phone there? Yeah. Just put your email... Put it in the note section or something. I'll give you my email. You can send all the emails to me, and then I'll add you. But yeah, they're pretty amazing. My email is V. Actually, yeah, you can just if you want to do it that way, just put my email in your phone. You can just write me, and I'll add you. V J Dasa 108@gmail.com. There's different, many different ways. All this fancy technology. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that when we're distributing books, we have to have very good sadhana. And sometimes all this technology, this high tech we have, can be a distraction. Yeah. Pass it around. If anybody wants to, yeah. So, the more we're absorbed in Krishna, the more we become Krishnaized, and we get closer to Krishna. Right? So this is actually sadhana bhakti is the key to having success on book distribution. Chanting good rounds. Like if you know you're going on book distribution, you know it can be a little difficult, so you chant extra good rounds. You know, protection. And before you go out also, it's good to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This inspires us. Each one of Prabhupada's sentences and each of his purports are like slokas in themselves, because Prabhupada is so pure. Just amazing. You know, just it's so inspiring. I remember when I was in school, I wasn't inspired at all. School was just so boring. Isn't it? And like this is like 90% of the stuff that we learned in school we didn't even need, you know? It's just like, oh God. But when I read Prabhupada's books, I was like, whoa, here's something that can help me, that can help me. In my life, yeah. It's like in the universities, there's so many books, right? So many books. Millions of books, practically. All the other libraries. But they can't learn about what is most important. The soul and God. But this is natural that we learn about the soul, we learn about God, because this is who we are. We're servants of Krishna, we're spirit soul. It's natural. Therefore, it's very, for children, they have this innocence, so they apparently all believe in God. But then they go through this educational system, this atheistic educational system. They teach atheism and the evolution theory, the Big Bang theory. It's all nonsense. So they can't grow. Anybody else on that side want to put your email in? Okay. So, people are stunted. You understand? Stunted? They can't grow. So I'll give you an example. Here in Melbourne, there's so many green nurseries. And the idea is that there's trees in the pots. And people buy these trees and they put them in their yard and they grow. But sometimes the trees aren't sold and they're just growing in the pot. So the roots are going against the wall and they get all entangled. So the tree is not growing the way it would want to. It gets stunted because it's blocked by these walls. So similarly, people in general, they're not growing naturally, spiritually, because they're blocked by all this mundane education that they're forced to learn. So by giving them this knowledge, they're getting an opportunity to grow naturally, spiritually. So we're doing a great service for mankind by distributing this knowledge. Yeah.
One question. Can you please talk a little bit about preaching the more Western than the more talking to Swami Mata?
Yeah.
That Prabhupada didn't work more to preach Western body. So, can you talk a little about that? Like, as Indians, it's very really easy to give a book because they know about Bhagavad Gita now. And we can give more books. being good, but giving a book to the Western body, it's more getting out of the comfort zone. And I feel it's more, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the West, Australians too, Americans, that are into yoga, meditation, and have heard of the Bhagavad Gita. I go to this festival in Woodford, and I was distributing 50 Gitas every day. And they're all Australians. No Indians. So they'll take books. You have to get off this mental thing that they won't take books. They'll take books. Yeah. We just have to have some determination, some confidence. Utsaha nishtyadharya. Yeah. Enthusiasm. You have to be very enthusiastic, determined. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, what if a devotee doesn't have determination? You know what Prabhupada said? He's an animal. Prabhupada's heavy. So, as human beings, we should have some determination. Pray for determination, for enthusiasm, confidence. And Krishna will give it. Australians are also spirit souls. Right? We have an Aussie spirit soul right here. Prabhu, Prabhu. So, yeah, Krishna will help us if we want. Just like it's amazing, this story that we heard earlier, that this devotee, was it Dvija? He wanted to sell Dvija Pitambar. Long name. So he wanted to sell the set. So he was praying to Krishna. And the set was sold. I mean, it's amazing. See, the power of prayer. And now in New York City, I can't believe it. They're just, oh my God, they're distributing so many of these Saptarishis, these sets of seven books. And also full Srimad Bhagavatam sets. You know, the sets are going out like anything now. It's amazing. Full sets, like unbelievable. We never heard of such a thing. 20 years ago, but now it's happening everywhere. America and of course India, what to speak, and here also now, New Zealand as well. So it's wonderful. So wonderful. Yes.
We sometimes see the individuals with whom have quite a clear path to connect to Krishna.
They what?
They have a clear path to connect to Krishna. It looks like it. Like their parents might see the very new, they might have
okay.
Krishna and stuff like that, yet they don't become the very new, And there's other people, like the example you gave, that Gandhi got a lot of people out of the bin, they didn't have any association, nothing, and
yeah. Yeah, it's not automatic. Even the people who join who are born into our society, they also have to at one point in their life decide, do I want to be a Hare Krishna or not? They have to join also at one point. Now one disadvantage of people growing up in our society, children growing up in our society, is that they become very familiar. And familiarity breeds. You become very familiar with everything, with the devotees and the chanting and the deities and everything. And when you're growing up, you don't take things very seriously. Naturally, when you're growing up, it's just you're a child, so it's more difficult. Actually, it can be more difficult. So when they begin their teens, 18, 19, then they see the world out there, and they've already seen this world, and it's all right, but let me try out that world. Yeah. And they get entangled quite often, unfortunately. So ourselves, us Westerners, we grew up familiar with the Western way of life, had enough of that, and now this new life comes in where there's nice philosophy, nice devotees, nice prasad. So we're completely unfamiliar with it, and it's very nice. And we're mature now. So we know what's, you know, what's good, what's bad, and what's nice. And so we're able to embrace it. So that's the disadvantage of someone growing up. Now, it still happens that devotees are able to grow up, you know, in Krishna consciousness and be good devotees. But I'm seeing that it's actually very rare. Because Maya is very, very strong out there. It's very, very powerful out there. But we already been there. Us Westerners, we were there. Been there, done it. Had enough of it. And now we have this nice Krishna consciousness. So that's my thoughts on that. You grew up in the movement? Or you joined also after? You were already a teenager, right? Yeah. Okay.
What's the solution for people that are going...
Wow, that... What? I'm a brahmachari. Be a very good parent yourself. You see, it's not so much what the children hear, it's what they see. That's what influences them, it's what they see. Hearing is good, but they want to see the good example in the parents. You know, that's what attracts the children. Good example, good devotee, you know, good character. This is what they'll remember, and this is what will attract him once they get older. Yeah. It's a big responsibility. Big responsibility to be a father, to be a mother. Even it's said that guru nasasyat, sojano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, sojano nasasyat. Don't become a guru, don't become a father, don't become a mother if you can't, if you don't feel you can deliver your dependence. So that's the response. You got to deliver your dependence. It's a huge responsibility. You're like a guru. Yeah. So pray to Krishna to be a good example, and that's what will be the greatest inspiration for the children. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, she already have one. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, you speak loudly.
Yeah, sometimes people just give us the donations because they feel sorry for us. It's, I have heard many statements. We have seen this standing for so long in such a hard day. So please take this. And they give some donations like that. Then we go out for the books.
And they don't want a book?
Yeah, sometimes they don't want, but sometimes they give us other things also. Because in some cases, in some days, we have got some, people were giving some biscuits. Like,
yeah, they give what?
Biscuits.
Yeah,
biscuits. There was a pack of biscuits, and one time somebody gave us like biscuit bottle. Like, we have seen you standing here for long for such a hard day, so please take this.
They give you what? Water?
Yeah. Water.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, even take the biscuits or whatever. If they give something, you know, don't offer, don't eat it. But yeah, that's good. They get some benefit. They're doing something for devotees. They want to do something for devotees. That's okay. They get some benefit. But even if they don't offer a donation, if they don't want a book, like I said before, ask for a donation. Let them do some service. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Yeah, they're giving a donation to Krishna. They're not giving it to you. They're giving it to Krishna, right? It might have been millions of lifetimes since they've done some service for Krishna. Even if they give a penny, whoa, that's very auspicious. Sometimes they say, well, we have some change. That's great. Fantastic. They're doing some service. We can't think this is a small thing. It's devotional service. It's agyata security. They don't know, but it's service. We have to understand that we're...
Yeah, one year we had a book to go on, and then we had all the stuff, like the auto foods, the water bottles, and the biscuits, everybody was coming and giving because it was a hot day and they were feeling pity on it.
These are Australians or Indians or both?
Yeah, both.
Both. You see, you create such a nice spiritual atmosphere, everybody wants to come and give, yeah. So that's good. They're all getting benefit. They give to a devotee. Very good. Keep giving. Yeah, give more. Give as much as you can give. Huh? No, no, don't ask for watches. Okay. Yeah, one last question. You had a question?
You said one of the stories that you distributed 50 books to Australians.
Every day.
In this marathon also, by and large, the books are given to Australians generally.
I don't know about that. I heard that most of them were given to Indians.
And in New York, you said there are so many sales going to the
Americans. Americans, yeah.
So all these books are going across the Western world, but we don't seem to be, Western devotees don't seem to be coming in. So what's your analysis on that?
Well, Krishna has his plan. They're getting books. They're giving donations. Some are reading. Some aren't. We don't know what is happening behind the scene. Krishna does. But we know one thing for sure. Prabhupada is pleased when we distribute books. Krishna is pleased when we distribute books. So we can't lose. It's a win-win situation. Have no doubt. Okay? It's a great service, actually. It's an opportunity for us to do a nice service, an opportunity for others to do service. It's an opportunity to please our spiritual master, to please Krishna. It's just, you can't lose. Yeah. Okay? On that note, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, transcendental book distribution ki jai.